This is Bristol, and you are listening to a podcast from the BristolCon Fringe reading series.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to yet another BristolCon Fringe. Some of us are safely returned from Finland. Others have busy being flashing over the summer. And tonight, we are promised horror. I understand there will be blood-curdling terror. There will be untimely death. And there will also apparently be pudding, though what that has to do with horror, I'm not entirely sure. But doubtless we will find out. So, without further ado, let us have our first reader, who is going to be Mr. Nick Walters.
I've got to say that. Those of you who saw me in my cycling gear when I came in have had the horror. Now I know why Marky Smith hates these things. I've got to get very close to it, haven't I, really? Very odd. This is from the Killer Bees anthology. It is a homage to 50s drive-in movies, 80s video cops, and the current trend for remakes and reimaginings, which has hit its stride this year with the likes of Terminator Genesis, which I urge you never to see, and Jurassic World, which everybody loves but I thought was pathetic, and Mad Max Fury Road, which, wow, was actually quite good. Anyway, on with it. Blood Slobber of the Scrunge Worms. Darren slid the empty VHS tape from its slot on the shelf. What about Alien? In space, no one can hear you scream. Alan didn't even look, seen it. Darren put the case back and pointed to the next title. Ooh, aliens, this time it's war. Alan frowned and scratched his ear, seen it. You know we have. Darren grinned. I just like saying the tagline. Twat. Now Darren frowned. You're a twat. Anyway, worth seeing again, though. Yeah, but not for great ages. The two lads shuffled slowly down the aisle, heads to one side as their eyes scanned the titles on the tightly packed spines. Reckon there'd be an Aliens 3, muttered Darren. Alan considered. That would technically be Aliens 2, or Alien 3, but yeah, probably. Anyway, here we are, we got to find something to watch tonight. Hey, how about The Fly? Be afraid, be very afraid. For fuck's sake, can you stop picking out stuff you've already seen? I just like saying the taglines, yeah, you really are the daftest cunt. Alan sounded genuinely angry now. Darren racked his brains desperately for something to say. Is The Fly 2 out yet? The Fly 2, like father, like son. It's meant to be mint. It is mint. Darren stopped dead in the middle of the aisle. What? How do you know it's mint? When did you see it? In the cinema when it came out. Sneaked in for free. Darren felt betrayed, as if he'd just discovered Alan had been sleeping with a girlfriend he didn't have. Bastard! That bit when a bloke's face gets melted off and he goes, ah, and all the skin drops off and they find him on the floor with no face and he's still breathing and moaning and they say, get a medic, as if any doctor could help the poor bastard. And the bit when the lift comes down on the guy's head, splat, and the bit where the dog, shut up! Alan laughed. Why weren't I there? Mate, you're my mate and all that, but shall we say, you ain't cut out for stealth work. Darren felt very small and desperate to regain ground. Oh, I was joking, I seen it too, I sneaked in. His voice trailed away under this friend's cool gaze. Mate, don't embarrass yourself. Darren clenched his fists again. He hated the way Alan ran rings around him. He wished he was tougher, that he could use those fists, now thrust deep in his jeans pockets, to redress the balance of power between them. But he wasn't hard, never had been. It just wasn't in him like it was with the other lads. He sighed. Fucking bollocks. No, I ain't fucking seen it. Let's just get The Fly out again then. Alan frowned, looking well irritated. Nah, fuck off. I want something I haven't seen. Something both of us haven't seen. He sighed. We're going to be here all night, because I reckon we've seen every bleeding film in this fucking place, at least twice. Darren glared around the interior of Video Solent. At the fluorescent lighting, at the bored girl behind the counter, at the rows and rows of VHS tape boxes on the shelves. There had to be something they hadn't seen, or at least hadn't seen too often. Darren grabbed a tape almost at random. How about From Beyond? Humans are such easy prey. Nah. Why not? Let me guess. Seen it? Well, we have. And the same goes for the other one, Reanimator. Darren smirked, cheering up at the memory. Herbert West has a good head on his shoulders and another one on his desk. That were a great double bill, that. So, neither of them. Come on, keep looking. Fucking starving. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. The night no one comes home. Alan snorted. Bollocks. Same goes for Halloween 4. The Return of Michael Myers. Can't remember the tagline to that one. Thank fuck. Darren scanned the shelves. Is Halloween 5 out yet? The Revenge of Michael Myers? If it is, I ain't interested. They slasher films bores me to fuck. I want gore. Alan's eyes seemed to burn like those of a thing possessed, thought Darren, or a Terminator. Aliens, monsters, ripping people to fuck, eating them and spitting them out and eating them again. Give me gore. What about this? Slugs. Slugs? They slime. They ooze. They kill. Bollocks. How? Darren sensed a chance to gain some ground back. What slugs are slimy and oozy, you stupid git? No. How do slugs kill? Perhaps they're giant mutant slugs or something. Kiss the box. No. They just look like normal slugs to me, like the ones on your lounge carpet. Fuck off. Perhaps they're poisonous. Maybe. But slugs are slow. How the hell are they going to get you? You can just stamp on them. Darren felt Alan wasn't giving it a chance. Perhaps they're super speedy mutant slugs, or can jump or spit venom or something. Bollocks. We could always watch it and find out. Alan frowned and squinted at the graphics on the box. Looks gory enough. Ugh. Look at this poor woman nude and covered in blood and slugs. Darren looked. Cool, maybe we get to see her before. Okay, this is a possibility, but I'm not convinced. I mean, slugs? Darren saw a chance and took it. I reckon you're scared. Fuck off. I just reckon it'd be shite. Yeah, reckon. Hey, we could double bill with this one. Snails, you will wail. They will prevail. Alan shrugged. Same problem as with the slugs. You mean you're scared of them too? Nah, bollocks, it just looks shit anyway. We ain't got time for a double bill. Darren frowned down at the tape in his hand. What does prevail mean? Fuck's sake, look. We better find someone soon. The two lads shuffled along the aisle, nearer to the broad girl behind the counter, who was regarding them with reptilian malevolence, or so it seemed to Darren. How about basket case? Very small, very twisted, and very mad. Child's play. Chucky is one mean S.O.B. Extro, a brutal excursion into terror. But they had seen them all more than once. More than twice, in some cases. A garish spine caught Darren's attention. Hang on, this looks interesting. Blood slobber are the scrunge worms. From the very depths of space, they came to devour the human race. Alan grimaced. Worms. Again, how? How are they a threat? And before I say, I ain't scared of worms, you cunt. Again, Darren felt compelled to defend the holy object of culture he held in his hands. They're not normal worms, you tit. They're scrunge worms. Alien monster worms from space. Look at the picture on the box. Alan glanced down, glanced away. It's just a drawing. The actual thing could be shit. Darren turned the box over in his hands. They ain't photos. Looks old, really old. Like black and white old. Some of their films is all right. Says it's colour, though, muttered Darren. Darren felt a tingle of excitement. Were they about to actually choose something to watch? Also says, cult classic beloved by gorehounds, as it contains an uncharacteristically high level of body horror for its era, with worryingly convincing special effects. Alan beamed, his eyes alight with that sinister gleam again. Fuck! Sounds mint. Well, gorehounds we be. Fuck it, let's get it and let Ganto down to Miss Miller's. Right. The two lads marched up to the bored girl behind the counter, who regarded them balefully throughout the entire transaction. Alan handed over the tape they were returning. The gate. They're here, and they want to meet the neighbours. With the words, video so lent is returned. The girl took the tape without a word. Darren half hoped now. By now, the lame joke would have driven her into some kind of homicidal fit of rage, but it hadn't yet. Clutching blood slobber of the scrunge worms, the two cinema buffs bowled out to Video Solent into the warm summer night. Got any money? Said Alan. Darren felt in his jeans pocket. A fiver. And me. Darren grinned. And as the scrunge worms arrived to devour the human race, so Darren and Alan descended on Miss Minutes to devour a fuckload of fried chicken. Twat. Reboots and remakes are the thing these days, Al. They may not be popular with hardcore fans and geeks, but they're raking in the money. RoboCop, Total Recall, Man of Steel, Spider-Man, and probably lots more since I wrote this, they've all brought home the goods. Sorry, not Brazilian, American. They all brought home the goods. Never mind the quality, feel the width. How considered. Some of them are good quality, Ed. Mad Max Fury Road is at least as good as Mad Max 2. And The Thing, the Carpenter Thing, was itself a remake. Yeah, I know that, Al. But when Carpenter remade The Thing, remakes weren't big business. It was a relative anomaly. Now they're the norm, and the time window is getting smaller. Raimi's Spider-Man, 2002. Reboot, 2012. 10 years! And everyone's getting in on the act. They're even doing a new Alien movie. But that's not a remake, Ed, and thank God. Some films you could not remake, or reboot, or reimagine, re-whatever. He held up a hand before Ed could interject. Don't even mention the AVP films or Prometheus, Jesus. It may not be a remake, and who the hell knows where it's going to fit in the continuity, but the point is, Blomkamp's going back to the original two movies, taking his inspiration from those. Obviously, nostalgia is big. Big business, big bucks. So the further point is, in this climate, we'd be crazy not to climb on board. Find some original property, secure the rights, and away we go. Al frowned. But what? What can we do? We can't afford anything major. Something like Alien, forget it. Hell, doubt if you even got the dough for an extra reboot. I thought you'd ask that, Al. I'm thinking of a different angle, something not widely known but with a massive cult following. Interesting. Go on. I'm thinking this. Ed slid the DVD cover over the desk towards his colleague. Al picked it up. Blood Slobber of the Scrungeworms? Seriously? Not heard of it? Never. Is it a joke? That title, man. Sounds like a spoof. No, Al, it's real. To quote IMDb, Blood Slobber of the Scrungeworms, 1958, directed by Jasper Onatz, starring Brad Lowndes, Terry Conroy, Bud Bannister, Art Finkel. Low-budget B-movie about alien worms invading Earth. Notable for extreme gore, unusual for the period. Also, only starring role for Conroy, who died during filming. Sank without trace on release, gained some notoriety as a video nasty during the 1980s. Available on Region 1 DVD, may be of interest to the least discerning of gorehounds. Yeah, why have I never heard of this? Ed tried not to show that he was excited by Al's excitement. So what I'm thinking is, play up the 50s nostalgia angle and play down the gore, which might annoy the gorehounds, but we're after a mainstream audience. Go for a Mars Attacks vibe, maybe even go a little bit meta, a bit Cabin in the Woods, have the characters in the film sort of know they're in the film, mess with the tropes, that kind of stuff. Al stared at the garish illustration on the DVD case. Ed shifted uncomfortably in the silence. Had to get Al on side, couldn't let him think too much. Interesting bit of trivia. It was originally titled Blood Scrunge of the Slobber Worms, but someone pointed out that Blood Scrunge doesn't make sense and Blood Slobber reads better. He smiled faintly. And it does. Assonance. You know what assonance is? Yeah, Al glared at him. I know what assonance is. The former title still persists in some movie guides, Ed continued. No shit. So who holds rights? Ed leaned forward. So you're interested? Al held up a hand. Just want to know how much this is going to cost us. The rights reside with our Mocha Pictures, and they're keen to sell. Don't worry, they're not asking a lot, which is great, because we need to allocate most of our budget to the special effects. We're going to go CG or physical. So it's a goer? Just asking. I'll leave that to our effects guys, but CG will be fine and more affordable. Think Big Ass Spider. People are more forgiving of the effects if they can see it's a spoof. Okay, I might be interested in being interested. First, though, I've got to watch this. Ed indicated the flat screen on the far side of the office. Be my guest. Have you seen it? Yeah, but let's watch it together. I can talk you through my ideas at the same time. Al rose from his chair and walked up to the equipment. Blood Slobber of the Scrunge Worms, man, is this going to be crass. Dale Jensen applied the handbrake, turned off the engine and leaned back in the plush seat of his 1955 Chevy. Second hand, but only 3 years old, looked gleaming new. He had parked right at the edge of what he liked to call Makeout Ridge, where the view over Lakeville was the best. The town was spread out in the valley below, a twinkling grid of orange-yellow lights. Above, the summer night sky was ablaze with stars. Dale saw all this and barely noticed. He'd seen it dozens, hundreds of times before. And besides, beside him sat a girl. A girl he'd been trying to get with for what seemed like ever. And that afternoon at the soda fountain, Ella Clark had said yes. He turned to look at her, barely believing his luck. She was 19, had long blonde hair tied back in a ponytail, bright blue eyes and other things he tried not to think about yet. She lived at home with her mom, her pop had bought it in Korea, studied at the college and worked part-time in her mom's haberdashery store. What the heck she was doing with him, a 23-year-old car mechanic with about as much book learning as the vehicles he worked on, Dale Jensen didn't know and didn't care. The fact was she was here with him on this night. "What a super sight," she said, sighing. "It was," thought Dale, his glaze flicking down to her cotton shirt, to the buttons which rose and fell. He turned his gaze away. Didn't want to creep this gal out. He felt he was in the presence of something special, almost supernatural, and God damn him if he said or did anything to scare her away. "Yeah," he said. He searched his mind for something to say, anything, but it was as if there was a cave inside his skull with a softball rattling around inside it. Ella gasped. Dale sprang back in his seat, alarmed. What had he done? He hadn't said a thing, hadn't even touched her. "Look!" Ella pointed through the windscreen at the sky. Dale turned his head in time to see a bright streak like a silver thread disappear some distance west of the town.
"A shooting star," he exclaimed.
"A meteor," Ella said at about the same time.
Isn't that meant to mean good luck?" ventured Dale.
"It seemed to come down over Macklemore Wood," said Ella. She looked excited for the first time that evening. "Let's go see." Dale felt the evening was slipping out of his control.
Why?
Ella frowned, only very slightly, but she frowned. "Well, why not?" She looked at him slyly. "If a meteorite did come down, it could contain precious metals. Or even if not, it could be worth something to some scientist somewhere."
Dale put his hands on the steering wheel. Well, if he did what he wanted, then maybe he would do what he wanted. Really, he had no choice.
He reached for the keys dangling from the ignition.
"Whatever you say, baby."
Macklemore Wood was 10 minutes' drive from Makeout Ridge, a dense and sprawling clump of sycamore and ivy. It sat to the west of Lakeville, largely unexplored. Dale had parked the Chevy at the side of the road, near the edge of the wood, and Ella had almost leapt from the car, clearly eager to explore. Now he followed her through the dark and sticky forest, shoving clawing branches aside and tripping over roots. This date was not going as he had planned, as usual, but this time it wasn't a slapped face he was going to get, more likely a twisted ankle. Up ahead, a green glow shone through the thick trunks and criss-crossed branches. Dale paused in his clumsy advance, suddenly wanting to go back, thinking that this was maybe something best left alone. Ella turned to face him. Her blonde hair gleamed weirdly in the green luminescence.
"What's wrong? Come on."
Just tying my shoelace.
Dale felt colour rush to his cheeks, glad of the concealing darkness. Onward he stumbled and staggered until they came to the far edge of the forest.
"I think it must have landed over here."
Dale scrambled after Ella in the direction of the green glow. Suddenly she stopped walking and stood with her hands on her hips. Dale, breathing hard, caught up with her.
Well, that answers that.
On the far side of the road, at the edge of Macklemore Wood, stood the Bellevue Motel. Its neon sign was the source of the green glow. Ella sighed and seemed disappointed.
"Most meteors break up before they hit the ground anyway," she said mournfully.
A plan began to form in Dale's mind about maybe checking into the hotel, but he dismissed it as too seedy for a girl as classy as Ella. Instead, he said,
"Wanna go catch a movie?"
Ella seemed to consider, well, okay, what's playing?
Blood Slobber of the Scrunge Worms is showing at the drive-in.
Her reaction surprised him. "Oh, cool, I love sci-fi." Dale grinned and took her hand as they made their way back to the Chevy. He somehow got the feeling that, shooting star or no shooting star, his luck was in tonight.
Jane screamed and cowered as a scrunge worm slithered slowly yet inexorably towards her.
He crawled as far back into the corner as he could go, trying desperately to press her body through the solid wall. But he knew he was trapped. Trapped and doomed.
The worm reared over her, hissing like water thrown on hot stones.
Fully 12 metres long and wide enough, Jane noticed in terror, to comfortably swallow a man. The scrunge worm's loathsome green and purple striped body glistened with mucus and bristled with sharp-looking black hairs which stuck out from the joints between the segments. It had no head, just a circular, gaping, stinking maw lined with row upon row of sharp dagger-like teeth which dripped saliva. As Jane Crike, screaming, the worm writhed towards her, its body folded into a repulsive S shape, and she could see it writes down its tooth-lined gullet.
Jane screamed, the sound ripping through her like barbed wire dragged through a clenched fist. The worm lunged closer, seeming to hiss in triumph. Jane wet herself. The foul yet sweet stench of the worm's breath wafted over her and seeped into her nostrils, down her throat, and suddenly she felt all warm and fuzzy, and her head went all floaty. She smiled up at the worm as it bent down towards her. "Hello, Mr. Scrungeworm," he thought. "Are you going to kiss me?" He gasped as in one sudden movement, the worm's mouth enveloped her head. He could feel its teeth brushing her ears, then closing around her neck. Everything was now stinking, sucking darkness. Oh no, it was going to eat her. Whatever. There was a slobbering, slurping noise, and she felt herself dragged up and into the worm's innards, head first, its teeth grabbing, pulling, ripping at her clothes. "It is eating me," she thought woozily, as she would swallow deep into the worm's guts. Fleshy moistness closed all around Jane, and she couldn't breathe. Pain struck at all parts of her body as the worm's digestive acid bore through her clothes and attacked her skin. The brief euphoria induced by the worm's hypnotic breath faded away, and she tried to scream, and her mouth filled with the worm's juices. Pain exploded in her head. The juices sizzled down her blistering throat and into her guts. Jane began to burn from the inside as well as the outside, and her final moments were spent in total darkness and unimaginable agony as the scrungeworm digested her body. That was fucking shite. Alan pressed eject and brutally yanked the tape from the VCR. "No, it won't," protested Darren from his supine position on the sofa. "It was mint." "It was not mint," insisted Alan, tossing the tape over to his friend. Darren caught the tape and placed it reverently back in the box. "What was wrong with it then?" "Awful effects. Cliched characters, cheesy dialogue." "Bollocks. The effects were fine for 1958. As for the cheesy dialogue and action, what do you expect from the B-movie?" "Bollocks to your bollocks," said Alan, picking up a Miss Miller's carton and examining it for remnants of fried chicken. "A man in a suit pretended to be a giant alien worm in the worst stop-motion animation I've ever seen." "Of course it was a man in a suit," Darren felt exasperated. "It's all part of the fun, isn't it?" Alan shrugged, licking grease off his fingers. "If you say so." "What about the gore?" Alan's eyes widened. "What gore? You didn't even see blood when that bird got ate. Fucking pathetic. Especially given the title of the film." Darren felt the urge to argue drain away from him like cola glugging from an overturned can. "Yeah, well, that'll choose something. Slugs next then?" "Fuck off." Alan was staring at the TV, which was now showing an episode of Mammy Vice. "Okay, then I will. This is me. Fucking off." He heaved himself up from the sofa. "Same time next week then?" Alan didn't reply, just kept staring at the screen. Darren turned to leave, but then Alan spoke, making him pause in the doorway. "Next time I'll fucking choose a film, you useless fucking cunt." Darren whirled back round to face him. He raised a tape in his hand, ready to smack it down on Alan's head. But Alan didn't even seem to notice. Just kept staring at Miami Vice. Without another word, Darren turned and left, not even bothering to slam the door. Ed clicked the DVD back into its case. "Well?" Al was staring at the now blank screen with a mixed expression of disgust and pity. "Well?" repeated Ed. Without looking up, Al said softly, "I think I'll pass on this one, Ed." After the film, Dale drove Ella home. He was oddly quiet throughout the journey. Well, he'd enjoyed the film. Well, he had too. It was just a dumb space movie about giant killer worms. What's not to like? And he had behaved impeccably throughout, not even daring to make a move. Not this time. He didn't want to ruin it this time. He parked the Chevy at the end of her drive, and they both got out. A long, neat garden bisected by a straight, neat path led to the front porch of Ella's mom's neat, white-painted house. Dale stood facing Ella, keeping his hands firmly in his pockets. Ella stood with one foot tucked behind the other, hands behind her back, regarding him coolly with a half-smile on her so gorgeous lips. "I had a nice night tonight, Dale."
So did I."
He stood as close to her as he dared, and his instincts screamed for him to take his arms out of his pants pockets and put them around this beautiful, beautiful girl. But something stopped him, something about her eyes. Something was gleaming there, not hatred, not indifference, but the way they shone under the yellow streetlight made it look like she was she, laughing at him? "Well, good night, Dale," he said in her sweet, husky voice.
"Good night, Ella," replied Dale. Then he found himself blurting out, "Do this again sometime?"
Once the words were out, the world seemed to fall away from under his feet, and he felt simultaneously 100 feet and 1 inch tall. Ella smiled and looked as though he was about to burst out laughing. Dale braced himself. Here it came, the rejection, again. But what he said surprised him.
Maybe. And with that, she was gone, stepping lightly up the path to her front door. Before she went in, she turned and gave Dale a little wave, which he returned. And he realised he was still waving for some seconds after the door closed. Somehow collecting his stunned senses and reeling mind, Dale walked back to the Chevy and slid into the driver's seat. He pulled away and drove off, coasting serenely through the summer night streets of Lakeville. And now, he noticed the stars in the sky above him. Thank you.
I think we might put an explicit tag on that one. Okay, well, thank you very much, Nick. That was great. We'll just take a few minutes now if anybody wants to go and refill their glasses or visit the restroom, and then we will reconvene with Ken Shin.
Bristol Con Fringe is a monthly reading series produced by the Bristol Con Foundation. Our thanks to the Shakespeare Tavern for providing us with a venue. The music at the beginning of this podcast is The Future by Chevy 174.